This is Lunch with Lloyd
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Well, hi there and welcome along to this podcast. My name is Mark Lloyd from Lunch with Lloyd, and it was Book Lovers Day this week on the show, and we asked our audience some of the books that really made a big impact on their life. We also spoke to author Karen Osman and a 9-year-old young lady by the name of Ayat Minhas, who's already completed her first book. Alex Brown, playwright, told us how we get a book onto the silver screen and what's trending. Markdown Mondays with Monica found us the best bargains across the city. Do join me on the show weekdays from 11 o'clock only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
You're listening to Lunch with Lloyd
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
I woke up this morning and producer Punham reliably informed me that today is Book Lovers Day. So no matter where you are or what you do, you're never alone as long as you've got a book by your side, eh?
I know. I haven't bought one for a long time because I carry a Kindle a lot and I hate Kindles. But I saw one the other day.
You carry a Kindle a lot and you hate them?
I just like reading proper books, but I get bored, so I move through books like, you know, the same way I watch movies, so I need a lot of them.
So you don't finish them? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think as I get older, my attention span's getting worse.
What's the last book you read? Can you remember? Mine was Elton John's biography. It's called Me.
Yeah.
I had a bit of time off work for one reason or another, and I picked up that book and read it cover to cover and really, really enjoyed it. A real insight into Elton John, you know, his tantrums, his tiaras, his music, and it really was a good book. It was as good as the movie, Rocket Man, really, so I can recommend that one. That's the last thing that I read.
So the last one I read is a friend of mine gave me one. His name was Albert, and he wrote a book during COVID. And he kind of linked it to success and hip hop lines because he's in the area of hip hop. And that's honestly the last one I actually read from top to.
Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it because it was short, sweet, straight to the point with little life lessons.
Yeah.
So it was good.
All right then. So Book Lovers Day, we've got to ask you guys anything about books that you want to message in. What's been a book that's really made a big impact on your life? What was the last book that you read? And did it live up to expectations, like my Elton John biography, or was it a bit of a letdown? Let us know. We're going to go to the lines. Miranda joins us on the show. Good morning, Miranda. How are you?
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Excellent. And thanks so much for messaging in. So tell me, what was the book that you read that really made a mark on you?
Self-Love. It's an amazing book. It's very easy to read, very small. You can just put it in your bag and go around, and it shows you really that you have to remember that you have to love yourself.
Okay.
And not just that staying by pleasing other people.
All right. So put yourself first. I like that.
Exactly.
Who's it by?
It's by a guy called David Villard.
Yeah.
It's a very nice book, and it's available in UAE everywhere.
Oh, cool. Okay. And are you reading anything at the moment? It is Book Lovers Day today.
A new book called Karba of Sadhguru.
Yeah.
He's an amazing guy. I like him very much. I follow him a lot.
Okay.
And this is a book where I really recommend people to read it because we believe in karma is like what goes around comes around, which is not true. Karma is what you create inside you.
Nice one. Well, Miranda, you've set the ball rolling there beautifully. Self-Love, we shall check that one out. It's Book Appreciation Day today across the world, and we're asking you about some of the books that you've read, maybe the last one that you read, and did it live up to expectations? Roger joins us on the show. Good morning, Roger. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. So tell me all about this Who Moved My Cheese? What's this about?
I should say amazing. It's not a very large book. It's contained almost like 100-150 pages. But
yeah.
It's done by Spencer, a lady named Spencer. And it's all about how to cope up with the changes in your work life and in your personal life. And trust me, during this pandemic, it helped me out because we have gone through quite a lot. And I recommend to all my listener and to you as well, if you had a chance, just it hardly take, I think, 3-4 hours to complete that book.
Yeah, and I like a book like that doesn't, you know, it's not too thick and it's, I think it's daunting. I'm never going to get through it. So you say it really is, you know, it really hits the spot. It really has helped you. In what way, Roger?
Due to pandemic, I lost my job. And it was a change. Being a hospitality guy, it was time to move on and to find something which can help my family and to support me.
Yeah.
So it was all about how to take all these changes in a positive manner. Because if, let's say, somebody moved your cheese, so how to look for a new options and new ways to find your cheese, which can feed you and your family.
Yeah, yeah. So it really kind of breaks everything down and puts it into perspective.
Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, have you been able to find alternative ways of finding your cheese?
I did. I moved to a way different profession now, but touch wood, thanks God, very happy. You can hear it in my voice that how excited I am.
Yeah.
Back on track, supporting my family and doing best for my life.
Oh, that's so good to hear, Roger. And I'm definitely going to read that one. Who moved my cheese? Will do. That's Roger there on the radio.
You're listening to Lunch with Lloyd
on Dubai I 103.8.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. It's a busy one today, and we mentioned at the start of today's programme that it's actually Book Lovers Day. That's what we're celebrating. And we're asking you some of your favourite books that have really made an impact on you. And what was the last book that you read? Did it live up to expectations? And we dug up a few statistics. Teenage reading statistics show that over 80% of them read for pleasure on a daily basis anymore, or they don't read for pleasure on a daily basis anymore. Only 53% of children say they enjoy reading a lot, which is apparently the lowest level since 2013. There's a lot of distractions today, of course, with the internet, video games, and many other things as well. Well, one lady who definitely loves them is the best-selling novelist and writing coach, Karen Osman, who joins us on the show right now. Good afternoon, Karen. How are you?
Hi there. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
So, well, happy Book Lovers Day to you. How many books have you written so far, Karen?
I've written three, and I'm just finishing up my fourth.
What's it like, you know, when you're just starting to write your first couple of lines? What's the feeling to know you've got such a lot ahead of you?
Yeah, well, I think I try not to think about it in terms of like a huge manuscript, and just really take it day by day and try and, you know, achieve a daily word count. And just keep chipping away at it, really.
Okay, so how much did you read when you were growing up? You know, we've been talking about these statistics that children are perhaps not reading as much as they used to. I mean, were you a big reader from an early age?
Yeah, definitely. I really was. I think, you know, I must have started reading, you know, as soon as I was able to, and I've never really stopped. So I think books, you know, they've got me through good times, bad times. They're sort of my form of entertainment, really.
Now, you're a mum of two young boys. Do they enjoy reading, especially as mum's an author? I mean, you know, do they enjoy it?
They do. They're 4 and 7 now, and I can already feel them sort of, you know, drifting away to more exciting things like the iPad. But I've always read to them every night since they were born.
Yeah.
So it's a battle, but we keep going.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the iPad there, which I'm sure is a big distraction. But what are the benefits of reading regularly to children? You say you've been doing it since they were very young.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many benefits and lots of studies that sort of back it all up. But in terms of like bonding, I think that's a really nice activity to do with your child. But perhaps more importantly, it's things like cognitive and language development. So, you know, a study showed that babies who are read to and talked to score higher in language skills and cognitive development, like problem solving. And of course, things like vocabulary, because they're obviously picking up more words, and creativity, and also life lessons. I mean, I've used books to get my kids to go to the dentist for their first day at school, you know, potty training, that kind of thing. So it really helps with that as well.
And what about the adults? I mean, we see a lot of people in cafes now. They're either on a laptop, on their phone. Rarely do I see many people reading a book. What about you? Maybe I'm going to the wrong cafes.
Yeah, I think that's a challenge for everything. But I think one good thing that probably came out of the pandemic is that people turn to reading a lot more.
Yeah.
You know, whether that's on a Kindle or whether that's a real life book or whether that's a recipe book just from, you know, cooking and baking more and all of that. So, you know, I mean, if you look at the sales of books are still good. They could always be better. But, yeah, I don't think the art of reading is dead yet.
No, neither do I. Now, if you had to choose one book that had an impact on your life, what would it be, Karen?
Oh, goodness. There's so many. I think Shantaram by Gregory Roberts, which was set in Bombay in India, was a real sort of eye-opener for me just because it's sort of showed me a world beyond my own world.
Yeah.
And then The 4-Hour Workweek, which is non-fiction, but that actually led me to set up my own content writing business, Travel Inc. So that was a real game changer in terms of life changing, leaving my corporate job and going into entrepreneurship.
Yeah. Book Lovers Day today, you're bound to be turning the pages of something. What's it going to be? What are you going to be reading today, Karen?
Well, currently I'm reading Songbirds by Christy Lefteri, which is our book club pick for Karen's bookshelf.
Okay, so tell me about that book. What's it about?
Well, it's by the same author who wrote The Beekeeper of Aleppo. I don't know if you wrote that one. If you read that one. So this is a new book by the same author. And it's really about displacement, about, you know, people leaving their families, expat life, refugees. So it's quite an intense book with some really important themes, but a very good read and, you know, enjoyable read as well at the same time.
You just mentioned Karen's bookshelf. I believe that's an online show. Tell me a bit more about that.
Yeah, that's actually an online book club, which I set up a couple of years ago. With young children, I was struggling to get to actual physical, you know, book clubs, which I love. So I set up an online book club, which is a Facebook group, Karen's Bookshelf. And then people who are a bit tight for time, but, you know, still want to be part of a community of book lovers can join and get book recommendations, make book recommendations and talk about what they're reading and what they like and dislike. So, yes, that's Karen's Bookshelf.
Okay, sounds good. Well, Karen, enjoy your book reading today, Book Lovers
Thanks.
Day, and regards to the kids as well. Hope they're going to be picking up a book today.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
You're listening to Lunch with Lloyd.
Yeah, welcome back to the show, and you're just going to love this next interview. I don't think I could even read at 9 years old, never mind write a book.
Can you read now? Just about
there.
Yeah,
just about. And we've got a young lady by the name of Ayat Minhas joining us on the show, who's a 9-year-old author. Ayat, how are you today?
I am very good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, great. Thanks for asking. So, tell me, what made you want to write a book in the first place, Ayat?
Well, at the first place, I really loved writing. I always used to do it in my free time. And I love reading especially. And my favorite authors, they're just like, wow. And then I thought that maybe I could be just like them and maybe write a book.
So, Ayat, I started writing a book 4 years ago and I'm nowhere near the end. You've already finished your book. Tell us what it's called and what's it about.
So my book is called Alexa's Adventures. It's about a family who desperately needs some family time because they haven't gotten together for so long. And then there are a series of adventures that they face, from a calming trip to a chaotic one. So basically, it's like this environmental based story, and especially about the seas, but I'm not gonna spoil it for you. You're gonna need to read it.
Yeah, you're gonna have to get the book and read it. Why Alexa? Why is it called Alexa?
Because she's really the main character and the one that discovers all of this.
So your book, is it out now? Can we read it?
Yeah, it's out on Amazon, and hopefully I wish that you like it and you give me a response to how it is.
Well, what do your friends think of it? Did they tell you? Did they say that, oh, we love it?
Yeah, I showed it to my friends and they said that it's awesome, they like it and all.
Do you love reading books more than watching TV or going on your iPad or your computer?
Yes, definitely. I think it saves much more time than just looking at the screen. I love reading books, especially J.K. Rowling's books.
Now, today is Book Lovers Day. So what are you going to be reading today, Ayat?
So today I am reading a current book called Me and the Robertsons. It's by Siri Kolo, and it's a really nice book.
So when will Alexa's Adventures Part 2 be out?
Well, I've already started writing it, and it's not that similar to the first book, but it definitely has something to do with the environment.
Okay, and I want to, can you give me a tip? I really need your guidance because you're such an expert. Did you dedicate time every day, like 20 minutes to write your book? Because I don't have any discipline. Can you give me some advice? Should I give some time every day to write the book?
Yes, that will especially help, like 20 or 30 minutes or at least 1 hour a day. That will make your book even better. You need to change a lot of things in it and have a lot of attitude.
Ooh.
And did you want eventually to become an author as a profession? Would you like that as your job when you grow up?
Well, yeah, but I decided that I could also do writing along as with my actual career, as I really wanted to be a smoke jumper.
A what? What is a smoke jumper?
It's like whenever there's a wildfire, like, for example, a really big one, and then smoke jumpers step in to help the animals and people to escape from the fire.
Oh, what a lovely profession. That's amazing. Well, Ayat, it's been great to chat with you. In fact, was it your brother that was just on the screen there that was just crawling past you?
Yeah.
What's his name? Let's give him a shout out.
His name is Ramiz. He's amazing at technology.
Oh,
absolutely,
is he?
Absolutely amazing.
Right. Oh, there he is. There he is coming on screen there. Well, Ayat, I think you are absolutely fantastic. What about you, Poonam?
I think she could actually replace me as your co-host when I feel like a day off and I need to focus on my book.
Yeah, one of these days, Ayat, we'll get you in our studios and we'll have another chat with you. And good luck with the rest of your Alexa's Adventures Part 2. And thank you so much for being with us. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Isn't she great?
She's so cute.
She's amazing, I'll tell you.
This is Lunch with Lloyd.
On Dubai Eye, 103.8.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to the show. Now, today is Book Lovers Day around the world. And joining us next on the show is Alex Brune, who's an Australian playwright and screenwriter and has even had some of his own work go from paper to screen. Good afternoon, Alex. How are you doing, sir?
No, I'm doing very well, Mark. Lovely to chat to you.
Yeah, great to have you. So how much reading did you do growing up?
Listen, books were a huge, huge part of my life. I guess I was a little bit lonely and a little bit aloof as a young teenager growing up, so I spent a lot of my time reading books.
Yeah.
And certainly like the Thomas Covenant trilogy or sort of Decker trilogy or whatever it's called, there's tons and tons of books there I read and I really enjoyed, and I dived into those books and kind of disappeared into those different worlds, those imaginary worlds, for a good deal of time.
Yeah, and what about now? I mean, are you still a reader now? Do you have time, Alex, to actually read as much?
Well, it was really interesting. During lockdown, I did. I mean, I know it's like back to last year now, but I got right back into books again, and I found books a massive help during lockdown. I really sort of dived in. I probably read in that 3 months of kind of where we're all going to lock down, I read about probably 10 different books.
Yeah.
And that was just fantastic again to just get back into that thing of sitting down for like 4 or 5 hours with the phone off, with all other distractions, just diving into a book and reading a book. And, you know, one of the books was one of the Breakfast Team's beautiful book that I read, which was absolutely fantastic. And just reading lots of books and getting back into the love of words.
So, I mean, you've had your written word go to screen. I mean, what's the process of doing that? And what advice would you give someone if they wanted to create a film out of a book?
Listen, it's a big job, and it's really interesting. I mean, if you look at it, sometimes it's done really well, sometimes it's done really badly. So some people will absolutely love a book,
yeah.
and they see it on screen, and they go, I hate it, they just destroyed it,
yeah,
the book is so good. And sometimes you'll see a book that actually isn't that great, and then they create something really interesting out of it on screen. So it's really interesting, like someone like Stephen King, who has had so many adaptions of his books these days, he says basically that whoever comes to him with a book idea, it can be a really, really successful producer, or it can be somebody who's done nothing, he will treat them all the same. And he basically says to them, listen, you can have the rights. He sells his rights for very, very cheaply, almost like a dollar or something for the right to turn the book into a film.
Yeah.
But he says you have to do it in 12 months. You have to get it and put it to the film in 12 months. And that's the thing. It takes a long, long time from someone picking up a book, adapting it into a screenplay, and then putting it to stage. And putting it to the screen. Sometimes you can have as many as 10 different script adaptations that a producer gets commissioned until they decide on the one that they want to make into a film.
So as you say, it's a big, big job then, isn't it? You know, I mean, it can take a long time to arrive at the script that everybody kind of agrees on.
Yeah, because you can have so many different takes on things. If you look at a book, it's maybe 400 pages, and you're going to turn that into, say, 90 to 120 minutes of screen time.
Yeah.
So it's a huge, huge challenge. I mean, one of my good friends from years ago is Craig Pearce. Now, Craig Pearce had adapted Strictly Ballroom for film. He adapted a number of different books for films. And Luke, who had adapted Lion, the book about the boy who gets lost in India, of course, and, you know, that extraordinary, which is really, really successful. And, you know, for them, it's a big, big scientific process of going through the book, sitting with it, reading with it, and thinking for a long period of time, how do I want to capture this, and what particular things do I want to focus on, and how do I want to bring this to the screen? Because a book, of course, is words, whereas a film is images, and trying to change those words into images in the most economic way and concise way and exciting way to watch is a huge challenge. Like, for example, Mark, do you have a narration or not? Do you have voiceover or not? Used to be you have lots of voiceovers where you'd hear people describing things, but those have really gone out now, so there's not so many voiceovers or narration. But I think in the most successful adaptions, like one of the most brilliant of all kind is Tess of the D'Urbervilles, which is a Roman Polanski film from many, many years ago with Nastasia Kinski. And I think that is one of the greatest adaptions of a book of all time. But it, you know, runs for 3 hours. So, you know, if you want to sit there and watch a 3-hour film, because sometimes to capture a great book like that, that's what you have to do.
So what book in your life has had the biggest impact on you, would you say, Alex?
Listen, I would say a book that's been adapted many, many times, or not number many times, but a number of times to film and also to plays was 1984 by George Orwell. There was just something about that book when I first read it. It was just, I don't know, it's just the world that Orwell creates is so extraordinary and so vivid, and the language he uses to describe it is so exceptional. That was a book that really, really grabbed me right from the start. And then I would also say many, many of the plays of Shakespeare. There's so many great adaptions of things like Hamlet, Romeo and Juliet. But then there's adaptions of Shakespeare plays that you may not know, like Coriolanus. There's some fantastic films of Coriolanus. There's some great films of Titus Andronicus. You know, there's really, really interesting Macbeth. Some of the Macbeths that have been made have been extraordinary, just absolutely gasping. So, I mean, the works of Shakespeare, those adaptations have been fantastic, and also I would say 1984, but other ones like, you know, Brave New World and The Lord of the Rings. I mean, that's, you know, the adaptation of that trilogy I found really, really great until the third episode, which I absolutely hated because they left out the last 100 pages of the book. When the hobbits go home and they find out that their own homeland has been invaded. I mean, that was the most exciting thing to me of the last 100 pages, and he just left it out.
Are you going to be reading anything on Book Lovers Day today, Alex? Will you have time?
Yeah, listen, I'll probably be reading some Shakespeare. I mean, I'm a head of drama here at Studio Republic, which is wonderful, and we have a stage acting class tonight, so I'll be focusing on a bit of Shakespeare today and bringing those written words to the stage.
Yeah.
And, yeah, might have a little bit of a time to read something else and look at something else. But I must say, Mark, it's really interesting that comics now, of course, are the book that is most changed into films these days because they're quite so simple to adapt. But, you know, still the written word your imagination can be so, so powerful. And if you haven't read a book for a while, then, you know, dive back into it and disappear into those wonderful imaginary worlds which authors create.
Amazing, Alex. Thank you so much for being with us and talking about, you know, taking a book and getting it up there on a silver screen. It's not as easy as it sounds.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
You're listening to Lunch with Lloyd.
Indeed you are. Welcome back to the show. We're talking quite a lot of books on the show today, as it's Book Appreciation Day, and asking you guys what you last read. Next, we are having a chat with the Dubai lad, Vip Patel, who joins us once again, being a Monday. Vip, how are you doing, sir?
Yeah, good, thank you. And yourself?
Very good. What was your last read then, or what are you reading at the moment, Vip?
Do you know what? I honestly can't remember the last book that I read.
Really?
A book that I had read that inspired me quite a lot fairly recently, and it's an old book, A Brief History of Time by Stephen Hawking.
Oh, really? You read that, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? It's one of those books where, like, whilst you're reading it, you think, you know what? I actually get string theory. But then 5 minutes later, you forget everything.
Right. That's a goodie. Like that one. Let's get down to business then. Now, a very interesting story happened in Sharjah this week that you guys are talking about on Dubai Lad. Tell me more.
Yeah, in Sharjah, they managed to breed an ultra-rare white rhino, which has recently been born in Sharjah Safari Park.
An ultra-rare white rhino. Wow. I wonder how they did that. And I wonder, how rare it really is. Do you have any details?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, it was bred under a UN-supported rhino breeding program.
Okay.
And these white rhinos were thought to be extinct back in 1895. And now there's roughly around 20,000 in the world, but this is a specific breed that's super rare. And they faced some difficulties actually in breeding it because of the climate out here and the climate they're used to. So they've actually had to build like a whole environment for these rhinos so that they can feel safe and the breeding program works.
Wow, that's super cool, isn't it? So we've got a brand new white rhino. Do we know any names yet? Have they christened him?
Oh, no, I don't know, actually. I don't know if they have yet.
Anyway, great story there happening over in the Sharjah Safari Park. What else have the lads been chatting about this week on your site?
Well, Sheikh Hamdan, the Crown Prince, has been skydiving again and showing off his amazing skydiving skills.
Yeah, he's very good, isn't he? So when did this happen?
This happened a couple of days ago. He basically jumped out of a helicopter. It looks like it's, I can't tell you exactly how high, but it looks like it's very high because he's above the clouds.
Yeah.
And some of the skydiving skills that he have are incredible, like nose diving straight down, flipping around. Him and his friends, that they had a whale of a time up there. And he landed on an island. Well, not sure which island it was, but it's somewhere in the UAE. And his landing was absolutely perfect.
Have you ever tried it? Have you ever done a skydive?
Yes, I have.
What was the experience like?
It was amazing. It was an incredible experience. Like, I'm a bit of an adrenaline junkie, so I really liked it. But the person sat opposite me when we were going up in the plane went absolutely white. They looked like they were about to faint.
And did they do it? I don't think I could do that. I mean, did they actually jump in the end?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, everyone that was with us jumped in the end.
Would you do it again?
Absolutely, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, nice. And was it one of these over the palm that you jumped so you can get your picture kind of with the palm in the background?
It was, yes. It's over the palm. The view's incredible. You're just looking down at the palm from, like, an angle that you've never seen before. And the skyline view, it's just a surreal experience. But as it was my first time, I was going to talk, like to say wow and stuff like that, but the amount of air that goes into your mouth, you have to keep it shut.
All right then, now this is an interesting story that you just brought up, because I went to the movies last weekend to watch Suicide Squad, and there was a trailer on for this film. Zac Efron and Jessica Alba were in it, and all shot here in Dubai. It looked absolutely amazing. So tell me more about this, as the lads have been talking about it.
Yeah, so Zac Efron posted a few days back on his social media a trailer for a promotional video about Dubai. It's him and Jessica Alba, and it looks incredible. It's really high octane. There's bikes. There's base jumping off of Al Arab. It's got everything in it. I'm not sure whether this is going to be made into a full movie or not, or if it's just full promotion. But it looks incredible. I wish it is getting made into an actual movie.
Me too. I mean, I went along with my son to watch this film, and he asked, "What is this movie? What is it?" I mean, it just how it caught Dubai, how it captured the vibrance of the city was just absolutely mind blowing. So, fingers crossed, it will get made into a movie. Will you keep your ear to the ground for that for us, Vip?
Sure, we certainly will.
Great stuff. If people want to follow you guys and kind of get involved in your conversations, where do they need to head to?
They can go to our website, DubaiLad.com, or they can check us out on Instagram and Facebook at DubaiLad.
Brilliant, Vip. Have yourself a great week.
This is Lunch with Lloyd.
On Dubai Eye, 103.8.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to the show. And, of course, being a Monday, we get into this. Yes, indeed. She works hard for the money, and she joins us on the show right now. I'm talking of Monica Capilla from Doing Dubai. How are you, Monica?
I'm very, very well, Mark. I've been working hard for my deals, as I always do, but I'm suffering because I'm not walking, so I think I'm putting on weight because I've been eating to try these deals. But never mind. I'm good. How are you?
I know you celebrated World Oyster Day last week, Monica. Tell me all about that celebration.
I certainly did, Mark. I think you're in that camp of oysters, like you're in the camp of Marmite. You either love them or you don't love them. I love them. What about you?
Yeah, I'm not too keen. You know, it's an acquired taste for me, which never really kind of grabbed me.
No. Well, I mean, one good thing about oysters is, Mark, they've got very, very, very few calories and lots of nutrition. So I do not feel guilty in the slightest about eating oysters. And you're right, Mark, last Thursday, the 5th of August, was World Oyster Day, and we celebrated by popping down to the new, fully air-conditioned, hurrah, hurrah, oyster hut down by Jumeirah Fish Market.
Okay.
We're at Dibba Bay Oysters, which are our fantastic locally grown business, and they supply lots of high-end establishments in Dubai and the UAE, but their flagship sort of store, restaurant, cafe, if you like, is this place called Dibba Bay Oyster Hut. And it's near the fish market in Jumeirah, just past Dosk, the sailing club in Kite Beach. So you can go there now and slurp some oysters, never mind if you missed the deal, and look out of the window at the sea and the boats and pretend you're on holiday, even if you're not. And for a platter of six shucked oysters with all the trimmings, it would be 90 dirhams or 150 for 12. So I worked out, Mark, each person could have six oysters served to you in style, in air conditioning, by the sea, and you're paying 90 dirhams each. So I think that's a very stylish way to start sort of any occasion, or just because it's August and it's too hot and you haven't gone away yet.
Yeah, sounds something a little bit different, does that one? So six would definitely be enough for me. I mean, I don't think you'd want to stomach any more, would you, after that?
I think six is good for me as well, Mark, but I have to say they've got... I mean, you might think, well, that's not going to fill me up, so I need more food. I don't want to go to one venue and it's so hot and then have a bit of my meal and I'm still hungry. So you can fill up. And if you're not an oyster person, Mark,
yeah,
it doesn't sound like you really are, you can have some very tasty bruschetta and you can try the very, very good quality burrata salad. And the burrata salad is only 65. And still sit there and enjoy while your mates have some oysters.
Yeah,
you can see me anytime there, Mark.
Really? Apparently, our producer, Punam, had 10 last time. 10 oysters. Wow. Okay. Right then. So that's our first deal today, celebrating World Oyster Day. It doesn't have to be World Oyster Day. You can go there anytime and avail of that deal. Now, what else have we got? Culture Vultures, I believe, is what you've been looking for next, Monica.
Yeah, and as I'm thinking about talking about this next very cultural deal, Mark, I mean, there is a link between oysters and culture because originally, back in the day, before the Burj Khalifa, before the metro, before the Burj Al Arab, Dubai was known for its pearl diving culture. And of course, pearls have been known to be found in oysters. So there's a bit of a link to our next deal. But I believe I remember mentioning this deal first during Ramadan time. But to remind our listeners, we're on something called the Heritage Express. Now, what this is, it's a fully air-conditioned, and of course, this time of year, Mark, air-conditioning is an absolute essential. It's a must. It's not a nice to have. It's an essential. So it's a fully air-conditioned and what looks like a very comfortable trolley bus type arrangement. Mm-hmm. And then on board, as well as your driver, you've got a second person. And the second person is an authentic Emirati sort of ambassador who acts as a knowledgeable guide, come friendly face, who inform and hopefully mesmerize you with tales of the city like you've never seen before. But I think it's a very, very good opportunity. And I believe it's encouraged that the participants of the tour, so that would be you and me, can also ask questions of these ambassadors to get a real Emirati view. Because I don't know about you, Mark, but I've not had as much chance as I'd like to have had to just chat very informally with Emiratis who've possibly grown up here.
Yeah.
And they've seen their city change completely in a relatively short space of time.
Yeah.
I guess they must feel very proud of what Dubai's achieved. And they want to sort of share, a bit of the heritage of Dubai and how it's evolved, and the rest of the UAE, I suppose, from what it was to what it is now. And no doubt, while we all feel very, very lucky to be here, I think, despite the heat, it's a good time to take advantage to do this tour on the Heritage Express. So there are two different tours you can do. I think the one I'm talking about is the shorter of the two, which is almost 3 hours in duration. So they've got the AC. They've got this very comfortable kind of majlis type arrangement on the trolley bus with lots of cushions that you can all sort of sit together. And it's not a formal arrangement. And yeah. I think they do actually call it a moving majlis. So you get sort of chat about key historical attractions while this trolley bus is moving all through the city. And then they take you to the Jumeirah Mosque garden experience. And then you have Emirati snacks. And, of course, there's all the stories that you listen to.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing is, I would take the early one and choose the breakfast. But you can choose a lunch. You can choose something. You can choose, like, the dinner. And the deal, because it's Markdown Monday, and this is the deal show, is on for a markdown price of less than 50%, or more than 50% off. So it's 150 dirhams instead of 329. So I think we should do a show from Markdown Monday from the Moving Majlis with Mark and Monica.
That
and
sounds
we
good.
Can talk about all the deals as you go by. So I think it's a very good deal. Very easy to book. Heritage Express Dubai website. Book your seat. Choose your tour and a date that suits you. And I think they all leave from the Al Fahidi side of town. So do it now while it's hot and, it's half price and much less hectic than normal.
Sounds good, Monica. A lot of culture there on the Heritage Express.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
You're listening to Lunch with Lloyd.
You certainly are, and we are flushing out the bargains today with Monica. We've already been to a fully air-conditioned oyster hut serving Dipper Bay oysters, and a little bit of culture as well on the Heritage Express. Monica, you've done us proud so far, but we've got another two bargains to take a look at. So what have you got next for us? A hidden gem, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, Mark, but I'm always a bit sceptical when people say, oh, Monica, you must try this. It's a hidden gem. And I look at them askance and think, oh, yes, really? So this place was, do you feel that, Mark, when someone says to you, oh, it's a hidden gem?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of places that I don't know in Dubai. So, I'd perhaps give it a go. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, I think it depends on sort of who's asking you, but I don't know about you. So somebody I didn't really know very well said, oh, Monica, have you tried this cafe? It's called La Parisienne Cafe in Dubai.
Yeah.
The first thing I do is I ask them sort of where it is. And it was my side of town, Mark, which is Al-Wasl Road, just before the canal with the Burj Al Arab behind you. There's a big HSBC bank sort of on the
okay.
junction before you kind of go over the bridge towards Darul Mall and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, my kind of end of town, I've not heard of it and I've not seen it before. So then I look up on Instagram and I think, okay, well, shall I go to this place or not? And honestly, like at first sight, Mark, I wasn't wildly impressed with what I saw on Instagram. So that's why I've said, look, don't let appearances, appearances are sometimes, deceptive. You mustn't let the outside of a place put you off. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to try it. Kind of what harm can it do? They said, please come down and try some breakfast and tell us what you think. And the person who recommended it to me said it was a hidden gem. So when we went there, which was last Friday, and we tried their breakfast, I actually got a bit annoyed with myself, thinking, why did I not know about this place? Because I, not like you, Mark, think I know quite a lot of places already in Dubai. Okay. I really liked it. And I'm always looking for new places for breakfast, a bit authentic, that have good quality products and food, nice vibe. The first thing I say to people is it a nice place to sit? And it had all of those things.
Yeah.
And my mother-in-law was with us from February till June. And, you know, we loved walking on the beach and then taking her somewhere for breakfast or something that was nice, socially distanced, bright and airy, and all the things I said. And I didn't know about this place. But anyway, I do now, and I'm sharing it with all the listeners. So we're at La Parisienne. It sounds very French, and it is a French-inspired place. It tastes very French. But it's got a North African French influence going on with the owners and the people who manage the place. And there's lots of very good kind of artisanal Tunisian olive oil that you should buy because it's very, very well priced first. So that's to take home. But if you're there, I highly recommend the breakfast at La Parisienne. Now, they've got all that usual stuff, which is very, you know, good and all fine, classic avocado on eggs. And that's fine. But you can have that if you want it. But you can also have that anywhere. So I thought I'm going to go for something a bit different. So I went for this combination, which was little pastry squares with melty goat cheese and artisanal honey drizzled all over it. And it was all put on a bed of rocket and some black sesame seeds. So I like the fact that you can get the sort of sweet and the salty and the crispy and the salad all on one plate. And it was only 35 dirhams. So they called it a starter, but I had it for my kind of late breakfast after yoga. And I added a flat white, very hot coffee. I was in heaven. It's a very, very good value, you know, for that to begin with. But what they've got, Mark, is a breakfast deal, and it's a very good deal. It's called the Notre Dame deal, in keeping with the sort of French Caribbean theme. So what you get is this, and you tell me how much you think this would be worth, Mark. So you get a hot drink, so that would be a coffee or tea, a cold drink, as in a freshly squeezed juice. You get a freshly baked croissant or a piece of, you know, a pastry that they make there, very, very high quality, nice pastry they make there, and a bread basket with butter and jam. You also get an omelette as well, freshly made omelette of your choice.
Okay.
Deal. Now, bearing in mind the bread they make there and the one you get in your basket is the same bread that is supplied to very upmarket fancy Namos and Nusrat, how much do you think we're talking for that breakfast served to you in a nice place?
I'd go 55. I think.
Well, you're too high, Mark. You're too high, and 55 will be cheap in my book. It's actually below 50, 49 dirhams only.
Wow.
So that's one very, very good deal and a reason to try it. But if you've still got kids about, Mark, and I know lots of families, at least in our compound, have started coming back from their travels, they've got another deal, which I think is a very, very good one. And basically, it's a very simple kids eat free option. So if you've got two kids, well, up to two kids under 12, they can have, completely free, a very nice, freshly made French crepe of their choice. So they might want a savory option, they might want a sweet option, on the simple condition that one accompanying adult with them spends at least 35 dirhams. So I reckon what you should do, you should go for the 49 dirham Notre Dame deal, give the juice to the kid, and the kid eats free for the crepe as well. And then you have your coffee and your full breakfast. And if the kid is still hungry, they can either order another crepe for 10 dirhams or something, or you can just give them some of your bread. And you're all in this very, very nice kind of cool place, and then buy two bottles of Tunisian olive oil for only 15 dirhams. So I think this is very, very, very good value. La Parisienne Cafe, not known to me before, but it certainly is known to me now. And if you're a carb-free person, well, I feel sorry for you, but never mind. You can have really nice bowls of acai, you can have good salads, you can have the omelette, or you can even have a vegan tofu scramble that they've got as well. Does this sound like a place you'd like to try, Mark?
Yeah, it sounds like a very cool place to hang out, doesn't it? And very reasonable as well, so why not?
Absolutely, that's what I said. I will be going down there again. And it's hot now, but at the back of the cafe, they've also got a terrace as well.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike lots of the other cafes I've been to down Jumeirah Beach Road or Russell Road, the terrace is at the back. So, you know, you're not facing the busy main road, which is another plus. So, yeah, check it out now. And put it in your diary for later. If you've got kids, go try the crepe deal and tell me what they're like, because I haven't tried those yet.
Excellent. Okay, we've got time for one more. And Muji Store is where you're taking us. What's this all about?
So basically, we've got to stop eating, Mark, for a while. And obviously, everyone is rejoicing that London, the UK, has now taken the UAE off the red list. So if anyone is planning to travel to London or anywhere else and they want to spruce up their suitcase game, Mark, they have to head down to Muji. So Muji is that really cool Japanese high-quality, very minimal or no-logo shop that we spoke about a while ago when they had a very good sale on. But they've got a sale on suitcases, those nice hard-shell suitcases, Mark, that protect all your things. And quite often they're quite lightweight now because they've sort of moved on technology-wise. So that's really good. But up till now, a lot of those very higher-end brands were very, very expensive. So the sale at Muji in-store is on two categories of products. One is these fantastic hard-shell suitcases, which you can buy if you're traveling. But the second category is fashion. So I didn't know that these guys were known very much for fashion. But last time I was there, I bought a very, very nice long black cotton sweater with short sleeves. So cotton is nice in Dubai because you can wear it in the AC. Doesn't matter if it's very hot here. And very, very good quality. But they've also got really good quality. And I don't know about you, Mark, but I don't like labels in my clothes, especially if I'm at the gym or doing sport. I end up cutting them out. Like I don't like any kind of irritation on the T-shirt. So they've got very, very soft cotton, high-quality T-shirts. And the deal is bog-off. Now, you must know what bog-off means now, Mark.
Best of something. You asked me this last week.
I ask you every week, Mark.
Yeah.
Buy one, get one
buy
free.
Buy one, get one
so
free,
easy.
Of course. Yes, yes.
Yes, of course. It's buy one, get one free from now in-store at Muji until, I think, the 16th of August on the suitcases and all fashion. But if you don't like going to malls and leaving your seat and you prefer shopping online, then you can buy anything you like from Muji from now until the end of tomorrow. So you better open your computer and your telephone as soon as the show is over. And they've got a very good 30% off everything, plus an extra 10% off if you're ordering online for the first time. So 40% is pretty decent as well. And I would recommend buying definitely a chef's knife, as anyone who follows me knows, I cook a lot. And that beautiful white teapot that I bought before, which has got the strainer inbuilt inside. You can put whatever you like in it. And the lovely little white teacup, which work very, very well as dessert bowls for portion control. So go online, look at what's not on a buy one, get one free deal. Buy all of that now and then go into the shop between now and the 16th of August and get the stuff that's on buy one, get one free at Muji. Do you know where the branches of Muji are, Mark?
I know you're going to tell me, even if I didn't. Go on, where are they?
Well, they're in our beloved Dubai Mall, so that's very easy for people to find and get to. Big branch there in the basement, yep. I believe. Murdiff City Centre. And they've also got one at the beach, JBR side of town. So three different locations. So I am sure that you can get to a Muji near you, and if you can't get to a Muji, then buy what you want for 40% as opposed to 50%. So, yeah.
Greg, good deals today. Absolutely awesome. If we want to see a little bit more about them and follow you, where do we need to head to, Monica?
Absolutely, Mark. Well, first and foremost, easiest way to follow is to follow me on Instagram, at DoInDubai, black and white logo, no spaces. And all the deals I spoke about today are on the deals highlight. And they can also go to doindubai.com, the blog. Just look on Mark. I think it says money-saving deals, actually, is the thing. But even better, just subscribe, and then you'll get an email that tells you everything that's new, including the deals that we speak about on the show each and every week. And, of course, there's monicmoments.com for podcasts on alternative health.
Fantastic, Monica. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. That's once again Markdown Monday, searching out the bargains, something that we do each and every Monday afternoon.